Chapter 6. Grim Jim. I took a deep breath and apologised to the others.
"It's okay. We forgive you," said Guy.
"Now let's have some music. I'll play for you on the guitar. It's your lucky day." Freddy and I looked at each other in horror. Guy played the guitar, although perhaps play is not a precise description. We once suggested to him that he took some lessons and learned to play properly, but he refused.
"I don't want to play songs that other people have composed," he said. "A guitar should express the music in your soul."
Unfortunately for us, Guy then started to express the music in his soul. When we couldn't endure it any longer, I said, "I wish I could also express myself in music, Guy. We'll leave you to enjoy it." Freddy and I got into our sleeping bags and covered our ears. Freddy fell asleep at once, but I couldn't sleep because I could still hear Guy's terrible music in the background. Caesar woke me very early again the next morning. For a moment, I was annoyed, but then I had an idea. An early morning swim would be a wonderful way to start the day. I tried to get Guy and Freddy to join me, but they refused.
"Are you crazy?" shouted Guy.
Freddy said something even ruder, but I won't repeat it here. I changed into my swimsuit and jumped into the water. I swam strongly with Caesar beside me. It was great. After a while, Caesar got out of the water and ran along the riverbank, looking across at me from time to time. Suddenly, I heard him barking. "I've heard that bark before," I thought. "Caesar barks like that when he sees Grim Jim." I looked towards the bank and saw Grim Jim's boat tied under the trees. He was walking towards it, carrying a large bag. He looked in the direction of the barking and picked up a stone.
"He's going to throw it at Caesar," I thought angrily.
There was something suspicious about the man, and I had a feeling he was dangerous. I swam underwater, back in the direction of our boat. A few moments later, Caesar joined me as I climbed back into the boat. Guy and Freddy were just waking up when we got back. Caesar ran to them and shook his wet body, splashing water all over him. They swore at him, but then Freddy began to laugh. At first, I didn't know what he found so amusing. Then I looked and saw that soaking wet Caesar was now lying on my new black T-shirt. Freddy was almost hysterical with laughter.
"Now you'll be so elegant for the girls," he shouted. "All that wet dog hair is so attractive."
I looked at the T-shirt again and felt a small smile at the corners of my mouth. I couldn't wait to hear what Freddy would say when he realised that the black T-shirt Caesar was lying on belonged to him, not me. But first, I wanted to tell them about Grim Jim. Guy was cautious.
"It's mysterious," he said, "but there might be a perfectly reasonable explanation for his behaviour."
Freddy loved a good mystery. He watched thrillers on TV at every opportunity.
"Nonsense," he said. "It's clear that he's some sort of criminal."
"Even if that's true," I said slowly, "I don't know what we can do about it." Caesar hadn't barked while we were talking, so it seemed unlikely that Grim Jim had sailed past us. His boat was probably still tied under the trees. Freddy wanted to go there immediately.
"If he leaves the boat again, we could look inside the bag," he said excitedly. "We'll have to leave Caesar here, of course. He'd bark and warn the man we were there."
"I don't think he'll leave the boat if he has got stolen goods on it," I said.
"But he'll have to get rid of the stolen goods," Guy pointed out. We decided to keep watch for Grim Jim's boat and see if he left the boat with the bag. If possible, we would follow him. Freddy had to be satisfied with that, but he was disappointed. Then I had an idea. "Let's tie our boat by the next lock," I said. "Grim Jim will have to pass us. You can't sail down the river without going through the locks. We'll wait till he passes, and then we'll follow his boat." There are lots of locks on the River Thames where the water level changes. You sail in at one end, and the gates close behind you. Then you wait till the water level changes, and the gates at the other end open so you can sail out. While you wait, you amuse yourself watching the people on the other boats in the lock. It was a good idea, but it didn't work out quite as planned. When Grim Jim's boat finally appeared, we watched it move into the lock and the gates close behind it. But the river was busy that day. Before we could go through the lock, another boat moved ahead of us. The lock filled and emptied twice before it was our turn to go in. And by then, Grim Jim was far away.